Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
You can't even talk to Bulldog about weed. It's been said. It's
don't,
known.
Don't waste your time.
It's just a waste of time
to
do that.
Don't
doesn't even
want to hear it.
Mm.
Totally closed off to the subject.
Weed. What happens if you do? What happens if you make this mistake?
I walk away.
That's just it. Walks away.
That's it.
Somebody try that at 716 one
it's
of these
it's a
nights.
It's a non-starter.
I had a question for you about weed.
I'm just going to walk away.
It just turns us back.
Yep.
All right, so as maybe depressing or frustrating as it can be, what do the fans think will happen with the Sabres here? Like, okay, they're probably not making the playoffs. It's very likely that they won't. That's kind of been known. I know that some of you probably were thinking a little bit differently going into last night, and maybe not. I don't know. I don't play that way, but okay if you did. Still, they lost, and their chances aren't good. So you go to the deadline, which is now Monday. It's less than a week away, and some of it's obvious, right? Guys who have contracts that are running out, you might look to turn them into draft picks or something else, whatever, like a prospect if you can. Then you've got other players or several players on the team that are not as obvious. And what makes this interesting, if it even really is needed for the point, is that this team has been losing forever. And I don't know what ownership is planning on doing, if anything, right? Like, this, to some extent, this has still been, I don't know, promoted, if you will, as a rebuilding job, right? Like, how many points were they supposed to have this year? Not 95.
No, 85 maybe.
Now, it's not good enough to just say you're rebuilding and then just keep doing it forever. Like, you, it is about
kind of
where you rank.
Yep, right.
Yeah. So I feel like that could go either way, what ownership thinks of what they have right now. And, you know, if you want to call in and tell us what you think about that, great. But there are guys on the roster. Ristolainen is sort of a glaring one because it has just been literally years of this. And they're still not a good team, and there is still no question in my mind about his part in that. I know that there's still a debate out there, I guess, but we're still nowhere here. Is it going to happen now? Like, here we go again. Montour, we talked about earlier, two goals last night. He cost the Sabres a first-round pick last year. Not that that really should matter, but here you had the Scandella thing, and that was closer together, but you spent this and you saw him be sold for that. So there is the perception of that is a real thing. I'll mention Reinhardt again, just because I don't know what I should rule out here. Middlestat might be a name.
I was just going to get to him. I don't think we've ever really, I think you mentioned him 2 years ago or something. And I went, oh my God, no. And you know, I'm definitely not an, oh my God, no, at this point. And you might think, like, well, what kind of value does he have right now? He's in Rochester, for God's sake. He can't even play on this team that's starving for offense. Like, I know, it doesn't look good. But who trades an established NHL player under contract that's maybe in their late 20s for Casey Middlestat right now? A team that's starting over. Yeah, you know, I don't have a scenario for you. I just know I thought of, I mean, that's the extent of my scenario. I don't have a name specific. I don't have a team and a guy for you, but that could be something that could work. Like, we've been that team before.
Are we not still that team?
Well, maybe, right? But I've got a young guy, and he's got a lot of promise, and he was highly drafted, and it hasn't really worked out yet. And if you're out there about to enter into year one of a rebuild, or you know it's going to be longer than just this first year, and you want to get out from under something that you don't expect to want to pay while you're rebuilding, or that you're not going to want to pay again by the time you're good, So you're just like, okay, well, you're not going to be here to help me when you're going to be a part of my solution in a year or two. So I'd rather go take a flyer on potential and see if that can work for me and divest myself of this player. Like, maybe that trade is out there to be made. And at this point, I can't imagine them being closed-minded to the idea of moving Mittelstadt.
Well, I think that's a really interesting one, because how would that get decided? How would a call on Mittelstadt get made? If, I mean, they're out of it. They're just still not there. So they know that. Botterill will proceed as if he's staying in the job, as he should, I guess, right? He would look at it as, mm-hmm. what is his take on everything? If he sees Mittelstadt as a star in the making or something, like, just this, we need to take a step back. I'm not talking about what he would say publicly, because that's not worth very much.
Right.
What does he really think the player is? Then, you know, if he's comfortable in his footing, he can just analyze that for what it is and make a move. And either hang in there with the kid, I believe in him, or I really don't. Maybe how he looked at Nylander. Somebody else is going to like him more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do that. Within the context of your build here, right?
Yep.
So that could go either way, I think. Like, mm-hmm. we're long past respecting, I think most of us, are long past respecting the Sabres as like a rebuilding thing. What they are is just bad. They're not rebuilding. They have some youth. You know, their young players are their best players. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
So
you should be able to fill in what needs to be filled in. It's just a question of what triggers that. And if Casey Mittelstadt gets you, you know, what? Trocheck, even, as an example. Like, is that, would people be freaked out if you traded Casey Mittelstadt for a 26-year-old center who's under contract for less than $5 million for only two more years? But is someone who produces. I mean, he's not their best player, obviously. There are other players that are at the top of the food chain in Florida that outrank him. But is that someone that could help you? Yeah, I think he could. Is that worth giving up on Mittelstadt's potential to try to get this thing on the tracks next year? I mean, I'd have a hard time saying no to that. I like the idea of developing these guys, and I think there's still a lot inside there with Mittelstadt. I think there's a lot of talent in there. But I got to be good as soon as I can. I am not rebuilding. You're right. What I am, I'm still, I think, and this might be overly simplistic, I think I am a 50-point player playing with Jeff Skinner away from being pretty good. I don't know that I'm a contender with that, but I don't think I'm 8 points out if I've got that guy playing with Skinner, because I'm getting goals from Skinner and I'm getting production from that guy that right now I'm getting nothing, that doesn't exist on my team. Like, that's it. Like, that is still, I really think, for all the fatigue we have about Gergensons and Larson and Oposo and all these other guys, I think if you've got 20 goals from Skinner and someone tracking towards 50 points playing center with him, I think you probably have 68 or 70 points.
And if you have a different goalie, backup goalie, and or penalty killing success, some of which, more than the 5-on-5 thing, can be kind of lucky, then maybe you're even better than that.
Yeah. I mean, so you the idea of this being a rebuild or something that they've got to really dig out of, the thing that they are still digging out of is the O'Reilly trade. I know that, and that team finished last. That team was worse in the standings than this team or even last year's team was. So, like, that happened, even with him and Eichel and Kane for most of that year.
Wow.
Right. And Reinhart.
Leonard.
And Leonard. Right.
That team was 31st.
Yeah. So, you know, it didn't work with that cast of characters, but the hole that was created there is still the hole that has not been filled. And I think it is the hole that is holding them back the most. I think it is their single biggest problem. I think a lot of stuff gets right if that's taken care of. Now, I know that with great authority, you and I have both said that about other problems that they have had over the course of these last 8 years or so, probably. But I think that one is those aren't complicated dots to connect. Like that, I think it's just it's that simple.
Trocheck, you can't trade for him unless you trade someone away. You know, that would be some other $4 or $5 million, right? So some other
well,
big or just
it depends
Bogosian.
What the Bogosian situation is. If I'm clear of that, then sure.
Cap Friendly has them at like $200,000 in cap space or less than $200,000. I don't know because these are all prorated.
Yeah, Florida's got $200,000. The Sabres have $7.3 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah, deadline cap space. Current cap space, deadline cap space, $7.391 million. That's accounting for the Bogosian.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, you're right. Good. Well, good. Good news.
So if that, you know, the thing with that is, like, if Bogosian goes to Rochester, that number changes some, but you still have room.
It goes down.
It goes, yeah, it gets less, yes. Yeah. But not entirely.
Apparently he's not doing that.
Right.
What I read on that from Cap Friendly yesterday is that he's already violated the terms of their agreement, so they already have enough to terminate the contract if they want
okay.
to.
Okay, so we should be able to count on that yeah. cap space being right. there for Monday or before. All right, good.
Reasonable or unreasonable? 2 years too late.
Oh, it's
I'd say reasonable.
2 years too late.
Yeah, no.
2 years too late.
Yeah.
Could have been Botterill's first move. I mean, really, it was pretty clear then. I mean, could have been his first move. Nope. But this is a guy who traded for Sabatka and then kept him. Like, I don't know. It's still the fundamental thing seems to be he thinks value is X and I think it's Y. Or maybe the whole league does. I don't know. The standings kind of speak for themselves. Here is Jim with us. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I think you're hitting the nail on the head. And I'm going to revisit the timeline of that O'Reilly trade and try to fill in the gaps. Our team for years, the story has been they're young. Well, a few years ago, when players like Matt Duchene, when players like Phil Kessel, when players like Pacioretty were being moved, when Huberdeau was being talked about, when players like probably Malkin might have been pryable from Pittsburgh, possibly, under the right package, the Sabres, what do? They go out, they get Sabatka, they get another guy for O'Reilly that walks out of the league, so they didn't really back-check whether or not the guy would even be happy in Buffalo. And my thought is this. I agree with you. Put someone up the center with Skinner. You know, Matt Duchene, when he left Ottawa, he was available. We could have grabbed him. You put him in there, and we're not a 60, 70-point team. I agree. We're a mid-80s team. We don't need the young guys. It's time to grab a 26, 27-year-old to 32-year-old established player, a PK Subban. Why do we let that guy go to Jersey? Why is he not made? You know, we make a move on that guy. The time of rebuilding through youth for us, that window just isn't there right now. And I agree with you. It's time to really go after some established players. And if we have to overpay, so be it.
Okay.
That's really what the middle stat idea would be to me. Like, if he's the centerpiece, I don't think straight up you get this 26, 27-year-old guy under contract that's got a track record straight up for Casey Mittelstadt. You probably have to include a pick or something to make that work. But that's exactly what that is. That's I'm giving up on 20 years old or 21 years old and potential for what I know has been, at least as sure as you can be, bankable. This guy's had 3 years, 5 years in the league. This is his production. These are his line mates. I can reasonably facilitate that sort of player playing with him. All right, I should be able to expect that. Then it's time to do that. As much as you want to hang on to the young potential, it's to me it's called for at this point.
Thanks, Jim. It's a pretty good argument. Do the Sabres' other assets, including Mittelstadt or maybe even like Montour or Colin Miller, I guess, without even mentioning Reinhart, do they add up to enough? Are there situations where the player is right and the team needs to make a move? You know, Florida is very much in it. Like, they're not out of it or anything like that. They're not just looking to move cap space. Right. They want to maybe change their makeup. That's a team you always want to be trading with, I think. If you're smart, you want to be trading with Florida, like the Leafs did today. They got a guy I'd never heard of him, but I read the numbers.
Yep, same here. The guy might be sneaky good.
Right. The shots are all like plus, but the goals are minus because who knows why. Goaltending on his shifts or whatever. So, that also fits in terms of the franchise and ownership's possible restlessness. I mean, you'd like to hope that they're restless, right? So you'd want to do something. It's basically trying to undo O'Reilly being traded. It's trying to replace him.
Still trying to plug that hole is what you're trying to do. The first guy you tried to have do that took his stuff and went home.
And this is, this is where Murray was really sharp, I think. Because he did not think, by his actions at least, he might have also said this, he did not think he had to put that time in to put a good team on the ice. He did not think it was necessary. They had all those picks, the pamphlet picks, and they got Eichel in that lottery, and they make the O'Reilly trade, and Kane the year before, and Leonard, he believed in Leonard. Is that not, does that look crazy now? I mean, this is our team. Eichel, thinking Eichel and even Reinhart, like right away, to be contributors is correct. All of that was correct.
On rookie contracts.
All of that was correct. O'Reilly was really good. But still, like whether it was coaching or what, like they still could not get it right. And their blue line with Bogosian, with Ristolainen, these same guys, McCabe, these same guys that just kind of dragged this team down. That was the thing. And I don't want to hold Murray up too high because that team lost. But even that guy, with that righteous approach to building a team in a league with so much parity, in a organization that had money to spend and was willing to spend it, could not see what his defensively, that blue line, could not see what a burden it was onto that team. Because in the end, hockey guy is just, they all just have seen Ristolainen as this perfect specimen of tools and everything else. And year after year with these lousy, crappy, this evidence of how much of a drag he is on their play, they still can't see it. I don't know. It's just really upsetting. I mean, we've all said it over and over, Eichel and his season, it's just mind-blowing that we're sitting here like this with that happening. We're all saying it. We all know it. They know it.
Yep.
What a waste.
In case you don't know, he's got 75 points in 59 games. I didn't look at the updated scoring leaders, but last time I looked, he was sixth.
He's going over 100.
Right. He's having the year you've been sort of waiting for him to have. And he's having the Taylor Hall year from 2 years ago. And in that year, Taylor Hall carried the Devils to the playoffs. Here we sit. We're not being carried anywhere. We're being carried to the lottery again.
See, if Murray is such a star, he could have maybe got Taylor Hall too.
Maybe.
Someone did. Wasn't that your line when I ended up spitting out my drink?
Right? Someone did.
Name of a horse.
Right.
Someone did. I don't know. You can't just take every trade and blame your guy for not making it, but someone did get Taylor Hall for Adam Larson. That happened. And now we're on that point. 803-0550. Sports after this on WGR.
Garrett's a guy that loves talking the game, loves talking pitching and his craft. And, he's when he engages you, it's usually a high-level conversation. And I'm sure over the years, he's smartly taken from those conversations that have aided him in becoming, an elite pitcher.
Okay, he's talking about pitching. So it's a baseball guy. It happens to be Aaron Boone, Yankees manager. Maybe you know his voice.
Talking about Gerrit Cole, who's now on the Yankees,
yeah,
but was on the Astros when they were cheating.
Right.
So that's maybe interesting. I don't know. Do all the Yankee players, does Aaron Judge hate him? Is he going to be mad at him? How's that work?
It's a tangled web, Bulldog. It's a tangled web. All right, Aaron Boone's voice, Patrick Mahomes' voice.
He's a coach that's won a lot of games. He's had an amazing career, and obviously we want to win this game.
Back to Aaron Boone.
Can't do it that fast.
It's not that close, I think.
I don't think so.
I thought it sounded a little bit like Mahomes, Boone. Okay, well, sorry.
Well, you know, you go out there and give it 100%.
I think the talent we have here is immense and tremendous, but I think that's something that kind of speaks
He's
to
He's like
Garrett.
A slower paced, you know, one of the things that's less energy Patrick Mahomes, I think.
That's a little bit.
Is to be able to have
older.
Conversations, you, have interactions with people. And
you catch Mahomes, maybe. Is that comment you played for Mahomes, is that like on the field after the Super Bowl? If you catch him maybe in a more relaxed setting where he hasn't just finished playing a game, maybe he's more, maybe there is something there.
It's also a baseball vibe, you know?
Kinda. This season, the adversity we deal with. Mm.
Yeah, that's not very
well, let's, yeah, let's, just, it sounds like he's got the microphone in his mouth.
And we won the Super Bowl. We the champs, baby.
Yeah, I don't hear it really in that.
Yeah, that's not working for me at all.
How awful are these parades? Can you imagine anything worse than going to one of those parades?
It's the worst experience of my entire life.
Joe has done it and can vouch for how terrible it is.
It looks awful.
Cleveland? Did you go to Cleveland?
Yes, I went to Cleveland. It was absolutely
for the Cavs.
Terrible.
We don't know how lucky we are, do we? That we don't have these parades.
Yeah, we better not
horrible,
ever win anything.
Parades are already terrible things. And then, like, so many more people would be there. One reason they're bad is they're crowded. And imagine how much more crowded this parade would be.
How it goes,
then you just get all these players up there. You don't even know them. They're just like, yeah! Just one after another. We wouldn't have done it without you. Yes, you would have. Probably you would have. No, we would not have done it without you. We couldn't have done it without your support. Right. Here is Jordan on WGR. Hi, Jordan.
Hey, guys. I want to talk about Victor Olsen, but first off, if we had a championship parade, I would pay for a front row seat to Trey White in his reaction. He would be absolutely hilarious in that kind of a setting, I would think. But I just wanted to talk. To me, the most infuriating part of the season has been Jeff Skinner's, for some reason, the coaching staff will not put him with Eichel. And I know we've talked about this ad nauseum, at least on this station, but
it's okay. It should be talked about a lot, I think.
Is there anyone else who just thinks that, like, hey, maybe this Victor Olsen kid is, like, going to be, like, really good? Why not just see what he can do by himself? Put Skinner up, see what this kid Olsen can do by himself, and go from there. Like, I don't know. I think this kid's shot. Olsen, that is, like, this kid's just going to get goals in pretty much any situation. So, I don't know. Give it a go.
I don't know. That's what Skinner was.
I mean, yeah, to me, Skinner is still that player. Like, he still is even. Like, I mean, he's not scoring, and that's why he's getting paid $9 million. So, like, let's make sure that everyone recognizes that. But he has not, to me, he is still – I'm not sour on him being here because how this year has gone. I'm worried about what is going on that is causing him to – not so much the Eichel point that you're making here, Jordan. I was stumping for that coming out of the break. I'm fine with Olofsson having the support of Eichel. It's his first year in the league. Skinner's got a track record of producing – all over the Carolina lineup. Yes, he scored his career high in goals playing with Eichel, and now you paid him. And paying a guy for what he did with Eichel and then not having him with Eichel anymore might not be the best plan ever. But you if you had a better player to play with him, I think you would still be getting production, and like I'd be fine with it. The bigger question to me is 6-on-4. It happened again last night. Overtime. Power play. Like what is that about? What is Skinner done that has relegated him to not being used for those situations? I just don't understand what's going on there. I'd love to know what the reason is. I mean, I've heard Ralph Krueger explain it numerous times that we want scoring all over the lineup, and so not everyone on the team can play with Jack Eichel. Like, I hear you.
But the other point is the way better point.
Right, the other stuff doesn't make sense.
You wonder if what Rob says about this is, like, mostly relevant, which is how he reacts, how Skinner has reacted to certain things, and whether it's his behavior or his actions or something that the coach wants to, quote, fix. And I don't know, again, it's just like, it's so not how I would run my sports team. I can't even comment on it. I can't even, like, sort of, I don't even know what to say. The guy's a goal scorer, and you just put all these whatever behavioral feeling stuff behind that, and you get him, it's all just deck chairs anyway. You still have to get another guy, or else your team is going to be bad. I don't care what line anybody's on more than that, but Yeah, I don't want a world where Skinner doesn't have Kruger, because then what happens? Like, you're just wasting him. All right. Thanks, Jordan. Yeah, he's wasted on this this season.
I mean, he's got 11 goals. He's not scored since December. It's incredible. And, like, look, I want to be clear. Like, I'm not removing any blame for that from him entirely. But to me, the time for that absolutely was the start of go back 3 weeks from yesterday. That's the start of this homestand, coming out of the break. I've got 9 out of 10 at home. It's Ottawa, it's Montreal, it's Detroit twice, it's Columbus twice. Okay, let's go. The road game is at the Rangers. Okay, can I get back in the race? Olofsson is still hurt. So what should I do here? To me, it was the time in the season to put Skinner there. And I'm not saying that gets written in blood and he never moves off of that spot, but get him there, get him going, and maybe that breaks this spell that he's under where, you know, again, he hasn't scored in 2 months. I mean, it's incredible.
Power play time and overtime time might, though, I think they do. I think they tell you more about a player's standing.
Yeah.
And that's really, again, I'll say, like, that's the main thing here. And that's not other guys can play with Eichel. That is, why doesn't he rate above Scott Wilson in terms of ice time in games? Like, what is going on there? It's still a good question. It's still the right question is what is going on. And this team has made so many mistakes putting this kind of stuff, whatever this is specifically, ahead of performance, that it's just so depressing. It's so depressing. It's O'Reilly. O'Reilly is a form of this. O'Reilly is the quintessential form of this because he was sad, and so they decided that moving him was like their only choice, I guess, because he was always good. So you could have just, you know, not bothered with that.
Ugh. He made that pretty hard, I think. Maybe. I still do think he made that pretty hard.
He's under contract.
I'm saying what he did, but yes. Skinner, like, it's up to him to score goals, right? And if you're that good, you should be able to score some goals and drive your line and just get your opportunities and bury them and not go 2 months without scoring, right? So he's not absolved of blame, but coaching – you know, to me, a key part of it, even at the NHL level, is maybe at the NHL level more than any other level, is you got to get them right. Like, right. Your job depends on them performing in within your framework, and sometimes you might have to bend that a little bit, or maybe you have to bend it a lot to try to make sure that it works. But it is a I'm stumped at not getting the guy those opportunities. And, you know, I don't know. Are we going to just, like, we could just chase our own tails for hours about it? Well, he's got to score to earn those opportunities. Well, maybe not. Maybe his track record tells you that he is going to produce and you should use him in overtime. And you should use him on the power play instead of Marcus Johansson, who whiffs on shots more than he hits when he's over there in the Olsen spot. Again, not that Skinner is exactly – he's not someone you want in that spot, but maybe you got to do something different with him. I don't know, man. It does not – it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't at all. I mean, eventually they're going to have to pay Olofsson. And – right? And he's playing with Eichel.
I just pulled a muscle.
And he, right, so he's going to get paid. He's not RFA already, right? He's still.
No, I think he is.
Yes.
He is. Okay. But he's older. I don't know what the terms are of that. I don't think he's like a big contract though, right?
Well, no.
When
not,
does he
not
go
now.
The question is, when does he go to unrestricted?
Not yet.
No, right. It won't be this year, but I think that's the answer you need for what you do with him.
Right.
Financially.
But like all I'm really trying to get to here is I'm helping him produce, and eventually I'm going to have to pay him because he's produced. And I did that with Skinner.
And paid him like crazy.
And like that in and of itself does not mean he should play with Eichel. All right. I'm not saying that, but you're not helping him. And I don't want to hear he shouldn't need help. If he needs help, he needs help. Your season was in danger of, well, doing this, and you didn't do anything about it. You just let him play his 13 or 14 minutes and not on the power play and not in overtime. And like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, he's a how much money does he have coming? He's a infinitely more valuable asset to this organization than their coach is. So that's how it goes. Coaches are disposable. They shouldn't have to fold, the Sabres. I have one baseball team that is so bereft of good players that I feel like I might just have to shut it down. I don't know what the rules are in the league, but it's a dynasty baseball thing, and Bulldog, it's so bad. I don't know what to do. I don't have the draft picks I need. There's penalties for not having enough, like, usage, we call it, at bats and pitching and everything. I don't know how I'm going to get
just
that.
Just quit.
I might. Well, I won't quit because I feel like that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if I fold it, maybe that's the same thing. I don't know. I've been thinking, what do I do with this team, and I have no idea.
I don't have any advice for you here.
Like
other than just quit.
Skinner is not Oposo in this way. But Oposo was, what, 6 years, 42, or seven?
7 years, $42 million, six a year.
Yes, all right.
That's Oposo.
So you get kind of into that even the first year, but by the second year, you're like, wait a minute, how many more years of this? And I just can't get out of it, right? I just can't get out of it.
No.
And so that's part of my thing. He's still playing, you know, when he's out there and he's playing. Scored on Sunday.
Scored last night.
Scored again, right? And so Skinner is not that. He shouldn't be that, but you kind of think, you get where I'm going. Like,
yeah,
how many more years do I have?
People were scared of doing this with Skinner because of Oposo. We heard plenty of that last spring and summer. So
two guys who were proven scorers at the time they were signed. I mean, to say the least, on Skinner. Right. Elite.
Yeah.
Elite five-on-five scorer.
He still, even with this year, is, I think, fourth in five-on-five goals since 2012. Like, he still holds that spot. It's like Ovechkin, Kane, I forget who's the other name, and then Skinner. Even with this year, because all of his goals this year are even strength, right? He has no power play goals. Yeah, he's got 11 even strength goals.
Wow, that is amazing.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah.
All right. 803-0550 is the number. We have a game coming up at the top of the hour. We got a game for you.
Whoa.
Joe. Oh,
you're just sitting on that all
day? Exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a game for you.
Didn't have time to prep.
Good. No, that's how I like it.
Yeah.
I don't tell you until like 10 minutes before.
We got a commercial break.
Yeah, go. You guys go. Go practice. Whatever you're going to think this game is about.
Practice hitting my buzzer.
Sure.
We don't have buzzers.
No.
I knew you.
Got to be very stern about that in the wake of the Astros thing. There are no buzzers. Back after this on WGR.
All right, folks, it's giveaway time. We got a pair of tickets right now to Seneca Fight Night, Friday, May 22nd at the Seneca Niagara Casino. Minimum value of the prize is $70. General contest rules apply. 644-9878, caller 5. First time I ever saw you, I didn't meet you, but I saw you at a Joe Macy fight at the Niagara Falls Convention Center, which is now the Seneca Niagara Casino.
Yes.
That was, we were both sitting pretty close to ringside. You were with another group of people, and I think I might have been with Brad.
I was with the Temptations. Remember
okay.
them?
Yes.
We used to hang out.
The singing group?
Yes.
Yes, I'm familiar. Yeah.
Yeah, memorable night. They know a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. They did. They sang the anthem.
No. They sang the anthem, yeah. Backwards. Really impressive feat. A cappella. What's happening right now? I thought it was going to... Here's Joe with a clip.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
You know, for example, trying to get in on Matt Dumbo or on Rasmus Ristolainen, you need some parts. You need cap space and you need big parts. And I don't know right now if... You know, I'm not saying it... Listen, it's not impossible. I mean, the Leafs are obviously making those calls, but I think Florida is a complete wild card ahead of Monday. You know, as I reported on Insider Trading last night, they're listening on their number two center, on Vincent Trocheck. Again, doesn't mean they'll move him, but they are listening. And there's six or seven teams that are in there, I'm told, trying on Vincent Trocheck, Buffalo among them.
All right, what have we got? That's Pierre LeBrun. Second time today.
And that's just from this afternoon. He referenced something he said last night and reported on last night about Trocheck. So that's
where. Where was he on, by the way?
I'm going to guess that's TSN 1050 up in Toronto. Yeah.
Could you tell that by like the sound of the call or
some
other way?
He said it was from earlier this afternoon, and I just would have guessed that if he was doing radio, it would have been there.
Okay.
So. Sure, I'm ready to roll on Vincent Trocheck. Sure, sounds great.
I mean, come on, how many of you have heard of him before? Doesn't mean he's not good. I've been fantasy, by the way. My team is surging, but a little bit of a set tough beat last week. Bulldog, you ever have that happen to you when you have the second highest score and you still lose?
Yeah.
That's happened to you?
Yeah, I scored 190 and lost a playoff game this year.
190, like in fantasy football terms, it's a huge number. It's a super flex league three receivers and we have a lot of starters,
I scored beat. Like crazy and I lost like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've had that.
I also have this Frederick Anderson.
Mm.
Game came down to Sunday and ended up losing to the Sabres, basically.
Right, right, okay.
And then Anderson played last night against the Penguins and got lit up again.
It was bad, yeah. Yep.
They say that he'll start their next game, which is tomorrow, also against the Penguins.
That's right.
But I had him last time when Anderson was out, and I went back for Jack Campbell.
Okay.
And I think a smart team wouldn't care what Anderson was in the past or what he gets paid. They would just be like, all right, you're out. And if the next guy isn't good, then maybe you're back. But we're going to go to the next guy because it's goaltending. Goaltending is voodoo and nobody knows. So we don't owe you anything. You're out. That's what I would expect the Leafs to do because I think the Leafs are run by smart people. So if Anderson isn't good, like right away, they would just replace him, I think. I don't think they would trade him or anything probably, but just replace him.
I think that's what Thursday... You might be saying that they should already do this, but Thursday very much, the fact that they already announced it today feels to me like, okay, dude, you going to be the guy for us down the stretch here or not? Like, that's what Thursday feels like to me for him. Like, so we'll see how that goes. I mean, I don't know, coming off the injury, if that's a good idea or not. He might not be, you know, guys come back and they're cleared to play and they say they feel fine, but he might be still, you know, nursing something. It's possible anyway, but anyway.
He's at least nursing that he's a goalie.
Right.
So you can't predict his results. Right. I'm going to the next guy. I'm ready to do it too, Leafs. We got a game for you next. The update as well. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.